Thank you, Christine, and for the message of your shirt. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Maningrida at a fellowship rally that was gathering from communities right across the territory, as far away as Papunya and Galawinku and Milingimbi. And I watched as youth choirs wearing uniform t-shirts did the action dance that goes with that wonderful song. There is a revival happening across Arnhem Land. Most people have no idea. Incredible power in the fellowship rallies that are gathering new people together, including young people that have never been part of the church before. We are in a revival place. It is wonderful to see. And yes, and the Uniting Church is at the heart of it. What a privilege. Now, before we do the communion, I understand the young people are working on some things. So before the communion starts, we'll ask them to bring them forward. I don't think they're quite ready, so we'll wait for that. So as we reflect on those powerful readings, let us pray for a moment. Loving God, your Spirit is moving in a powerful way in this land. May the Spirit speak to us in the words of Scripture and our thinking about them, that we too may be made new in spirit and bring revival to your land. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Mustard is a noxious weed that pollutes the grain. Yeast brings mold. So before every Passover, the whole Jewish house must be completely purged of every grain. Treasures hid in a field come from crime. Pearls are formed from grit that grinds painfully at the oyster's skin. A net is not selective. It gathers up all kinds of rubbish that needs sorting out. When Jesus speaks in parables, he speaks as an Asian. And Western minds need help to understand. Western thinking is all about straight lines. Tell it straight, we say. But straight lines lie. The world is made of curves. That's how God wanted it. Not one beach on any coast on earth matches a surveyor's line. If we go looking for truth, expecting straight lines, it will hide from us in plain sight. Asian thinking understands that, and Jesus was an Asian. But so do First Nations people. Native Americans attacked wagon trains because they traveled in straight lines that paid zero attention to the landscape they were crossing. It was as if the land was not there at all. Native Americans could hear it crying in pain, but Western invaders were deaf to the cries of the land, and it drove First Peoples crazy. Western thinking doesn't like parables, always trying to translate them away. The very word parable comes from parabola, which literally means a line that curves around. Truth is found in curves. The Japanese share with China a word for parable, koan. It's a part of their ancient tradition. Here's an example of a koan. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Don't answer it. It's not designed for an answer. It's designed to stop you thinking in straight lines. Here's another ancient koan parable that's actually in the Bible from the book of James. What is your original face before you see the mirror? It's not looking for an answer. It's trying to stop you thinking in straight lines. But there's a powerful parable in Asian thought that even more closely matches Jesus' teaching in this course. It's the lotus blossom. And I was hoping to have a picture of a lotus blossom up there. Wonderful. There you go. The lotus is a living parable, hiding in plain sight to reveal the truth of God's creation. Few blossoms are more beautiful than the lotus. You see, it has one body, many parts. Where the many petals, the subtle shades, the dramatic golden center share a wonderful diversity that still makes up a single flower. It's a miracle for those who see. But the deeper truth of the miracle is hidden. We can't see it from the surface. The truth of the lotus is that it grows from filthy muck. There would be no flower without the muck in which it grows. The beauty our eyes see is literally rooted in the fetid slime at the bottom of the pool. That is what Jesus is trying to teach. The seed that grows a weed, the yeast that brings the mold, the stolen treasure stash, the pearl firmed out of pain, and the net full up of rubbish. Out of these, God forms the beauty of the kingdom. There are many depths to these koans of Jesus. The parables are a mix of genders. Women use yeast to make the bread of life. Men dig up fields to find the stolen stash. Women and men plant seeds, sort out fish, and work as merchants. God builds the kingdom from Jacob, but Leah and Rachel are the ancestors of the Jewish people because bloodline comes through the mothers. And each of these stories is about beauty coming out of ugliness, crime, or pain. That noxious mustard weed is actually valuable to farmers. The little birds that nest in the shrub keep in check the bugs that harm the crop. No mustard plants for birds to nest in, no crop to harvest. Ask a convict sentenced to 7 years hard labor. That's a real punishment. That was Jacob's sentence. And Jacob is the artist of deceiving. He tricked his own brother. He tricked his own father, Isaac. Now Laban has tricked the trickster. Yet Jacob's prize was worth the pain. This is God's kingdom action. But that story, too, grows deeper. There's a different translation that Leah's eyes were not weak but lovely. But weak or lovely, her eyes were no help to her. Jacob kept her as wife, but never loved her. Can you feel the pain of living with a husband who detests you and loves your own sister as fiercely as he hates you? God felt Leah's pain. The story makes that clear. Son after son, and Jacob couldn't even be bothered naming them. So Leah, in her pain, herself gave each son a mighty name, meaning, God saw my suffering, Reuben. God heard my cries of pain, Shimon. God will bind us together in love, Levi. Praise God, Judah. It is these sons of Leah that form the Jewish identity. From the Levi line came Aaron, Miriam, and Moses, through whom God gave the law and the priests who would bind together in love the people of God. More than that, when Moses was wandering in the wilderness, a stolen child with no people to call his own, God met him in the burning bush and reminded him of his ancestor line, the line of Leah and her sons. Listen to what God said to Moses and think again of those names of Leah's sons. God said, I have seen the suffering of my people, Reuben. I have heard their cries, Shimeon. And I will send you to them to bind them to me, Levi, and set them free. Praise God, Judah. God tells Moses, the line of Leah and the sons she named is the line that will set my people free. Amen. And from that line of Judah came Boaz, who married Ruth, and David the king, and Joseph, the betrothed of Mary, who raised Jesus as his son. Jesus, who is God's praise made flesh. No wonder that when all these sons are named, Leah names her only daughter, God has taken my side. Dina, vindication. It is Dina that Paul cries out in Romans, if God is for us, who can stand against us? That was Leah's cry. And the name of her proud daughter. They are parable stories, hidden truths, treasures and beauty from ugliness and pain. Jesus spoke only in parables, the gospel writers claim, spoke as an Asian, in curves and riddle wisdom. But he not only taught in parables, he embodied the greatest parable of all. Treasures and beauty from ugliness and pain. We hardly remember the pain of Jesus' Last Supper when we celebrate communion, but it is at the heart of the story. The story begins with a woman, never named, because she is like all the holy women of Scripture combined in one, Leah and Miriam, Deborah and Ruth, Huldah and Anna together. The kingdom is like the work of a woman. And that woman used her whole treasure in one desperate act, anointing Jesus' head like Aaron and David were anointed, prophet, priest, and king. And from that moment, Jesus accepted the title Messiah, Anointed One. The woman had made the Nazarene rabbi, Jesus, the Christ. But the male disciples were blind to the parable. They missed it so completely that Jesus got angry. Leave her alone! Wherever the gospel is preached, this story will be told in remembrance of her. That woman knew the hidden truth. She saw the deep roots of the lotus flower. She embodied the parable. She has anointed my body for its burial. Jesus was a Messiah come to die. That is why her story must be told, because the truth hides from straight lines. And the disciples not only missed that truth, they also betrayed Jesus at the hour of crisis. Mark makes it plain. They all deserted him and ran away. Except, of course, the women, who never ran. The pain of the disciples' ignorance and then their betrayal. That was part of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's why when Jesus was arrested, the literal smell of death was already clinging to him. The myrrh for burial that woman had poured over his hair and down to his beard. That's why Jesus spoke another parable in the heart of the sacrament. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for all. How can bread be human flesh? How can wine be human blood? It is a parable. It is a truth that curves around. And that parable came true. They broke his body. They spilled his blood. And with the myrrh of death still clinging to his hair, they buried him in a tomb of stone. And this, all of this, is the greatest parable of the kingdom of God. Treasures and beauty from ugliness and pain. The tomb was empty. From death came life. From a tortured corpse came the flower of resurrection. The kingdom of God had always been near. At Easter, it was truly born. That is what gives Paul his song of triumph, even in his own pain and suffering and brokenness. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. All things. Every moment of pain and brokenness. Every act of ugliness and betrayal, the tiny hidden things no one tries to see, the shameful things we hide, the killing of the light of the world, all things work together for good. Do we have eyes to see, as Paul learned to see when the scales of his blindness were torn away? Can we discern the parable like the blessed anointing woman? Can we weep with Leah and ache with lost Moses and dare to embrace the alien like Boaz and Joseph? The deepest kingdom parable is the death and resurrection of God's beloved Jesus Christ. And here in this simple table of Christ's presence, the parable is handed on to us for safekeeping. In the one anointed for burial, in the broken body and the blood poured out, paradise begins again. The curse of death that drove us from the garden becomes the blessing of life forever. Here in this place, Living Water Uniting Church, the parable bears fruit. All things work together for good. Hallelujah. Even the long, long wait for the minister God will send. Here too, we can sing the truth with Paul. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Judah, praise God.